Psalm 100. Psalm 100, verses 4 and 5 are what we're going to highlight. As you see in the program, for the first four Sundays of this month, we're going to be in a series titled Attitudes That Affect the Atmosphere of Worship. And so for 4 weeks, that's where we're going to be. Part one today, Psalm 100, verse 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto who? Him. Look at somebody and say, him. Unto him, and bless whose name?
His name.
For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. You may be seated. Attitudes that affect the atmosphere of worship. If I just had to tag this text in part one, I would just tag it, come for something. Come for something. Amen. Amen. That was a quote that I saw this week as I was preparing and pulling this together in preparation for this series that was by Charles Spurgeon, the great theologian, the great pastor of England in the 1800s. His statement was this. He said, some people go to church to take a walk. Some go there to laugh and to talk. Some go there to meet a friend. And so some go there their time to spend. Some go there to meet a lover. Some go there a fault to cover. Some go there for speculation, and some go there for observation. Some go there to doze and to nod. But the wise go there to worship God. Now, I won't take time to ask you this morning why you've come, but I will say that as we look at this, all of us should come for something. A lot of houses of worship, ironic it is, we call it the house of worship. They're really filled with folks who really have not come for anything. That's the reason why when you come for, you don't come for anything, that's why you wind up missing everything. Some folk can leave and say, I really don't understand what all the fuss was today at church. I don't understand that moment that just preceded this moment where folk were shouting and people were on their feet and clapping their hands and they were enjoying and they were thinking about the goodness of God. I really don't understand what that moment was about, because there are people, even at Hopewell, who have come but really didn't come for anything. So they miss everything that's happening around them. And then I want to say this too. A lot of stuff that we give great value to when we come really is not worth the weight and the tag that we give it in worship. Y'all ain't gonna pray with me today. I said a lot of stuff what we elevate and that we're interested in when we come into the Lord's house, it really does not deserve the value that we give it. In other words, you come and all you've done is spent your time, and your time ultimately has been wasted. But let me just tell you this, because I also read another article titled The Reason Why I Don't Raise My Hands at Your Church. And the author of this article says that there are oftentimes we operate according to bully praise and worship practice. In other words, you say, wave a hand or tell your neighbor, slap your neighbor a high five. And there are people who are waving hands and standing on their feet and opening their mouth on command. Not because their hearts are overflowing with worship, but out of obligation and guilt, because there are condemning and judgmental eyes looking right at them in the face. And so rather than be the one on the outside and be the oddball, they move according to your command rather than a heart filled with true worship. We've learned how, because television and because a ministry, as we've seen it, has taught us how to mimic practices that are not real. And the motion from 10 to 12 here and 11 to 1 from somewhere else and 9 to whatever time somewhere else. And we spend our time going through the motion looking for emotion that will not cause a commotion. Everybody has learned how to perfect praise and worship. Matter of fact, some churches really can't get into anything until the praise team stands up. You just shouldn't have to have somebody to pump you and prime you and pull on you and test you and tempt you in order for you to think about the goodness of Jesus. All you have to do is have a good memory of who it was that woke you up this morning and started you on your day. That's all the priming you need. Culture of hand waving, hand clapping, praise teams, and all of these things that we feel that we need to get ourselves in a place where we can come to worship God. But we've got to understand, if you didn't bring anything with you, don't expect to catch something once you get here that's going to put you in the right mood or the right frame of mind. You've got to come in, baby, with your mind already on the one that's able to do all things and all things well. But we want to understand that even though that's our culture of what the expectation. And here's the thing. If you're in somebody's church and you're one of those who rather praise God and to worship as your heart is shifted and your heart is challenged in worship, but you're not really an extrovert in your worship, you're out of place in a lot of places. Because we have determined that if you don't praise and you don't worship like we do, then you're wrong. But can I tell you that our way and our prescription of how praise and worship should go out of the heart of a believer has no bearing before God. Listen, all of us here have come for something. And what God desires is that whatever you do and whatever you're prompted to, that it would not be from an external source, but out of your own heart that loves him. But if you're going to accomplish that and you're going to move and you're going to overcome the expectations of worship, you got to understand that you got to develop the right attitude. Tell your neighbor the right attitude works. Because here it is. When you have the right attitude, it will give you the opportunity to expect some particular outcomes. How many of you know when you come to church, you ought to come with expectation that something is going to happen because somebody has promised to meet me here, and I ain't talking about your boo either. Somebody promised to meet me here with all of my hurt, my mess, my issues, and all of my hang-ups and holdbacks, all of that stuff. Somebody promised to meet me. And so there are some expected outcomes that when I come to worship that one and he meets me in the place, something happens where when I leave, I'm not the same person that showed up on site. Then, church, on a Sunday morning is not in vain. I wonder sometimes how many times we go to church and by Sunday afternoon you forgot that you even went. I mean, once we get home and get in front of the TV and we take our suit and dress off and get out of them shoes and take off our makeup, and some of y'all take off your hair and your eyelashes and everything else, we forget that we were even in church. Here it is. I don't want to hold you too long. I'm excited about this series because God has already given me all four messages, and I can't wait to get to number four. But we got to stay at number one right now. But I thank God that he gave this in this season because I believe this is where the church is. First of all, first point is, when you consider the text, if we're going to have the right attitude, first thing you got to know is you got to be willing to be present in his presence. The text says, enter into. Now, here is what I understand. There's a whole lot of folk. Look around this beautiful plethora of all these people who are in worship with you today. And just give God some praise. Give God some praise for the person that's sitting on the pew next to you. Give God some praise for that person that you may not know much about, that came anyway. Here's here's what I want you to appreciate about that person that's sitting there. When he says to enter into, to be present in his presence, that means that you have come today, pat yourself on the back. That means you came today over everything that happened this past week that should have stopped you from coming today. You still chose to enter into. Oh, y'all gonna miss y'all cue to praise right there. I'm trying to tell you that after all the hell that broke loose in your life, after all the traps that were set for you, you are still here in the presence of God. You ought to be in a celebratory mood just for the fact that when the doors swung open, you came through the doors ready to be in the house of the Lord. So here's what it is. I know somebody sitting in the pew. You ain't gonna tell nobody, but it took a lot of resolve just to show up today. I understand. I'm the pastor, but I understand. Because sometimes I don't want to come either, but I've got to have a resolve in me that says, devil, out of all you tried, I'm still gonna darken the door and be in the house of the Lord. Oh, the old church used to say it this way: one more time. One more. They were saying, all they were really saying is there was a lot of stuff that happened that should have kept them at home, but they still made it in the house. Here it is. Here it is. I came. I didn't let that stop me. I didn't let me keep it outside. I personally chose to present myself. Here's the thing. Nobody could make that choice for any of us. When David says here in the text, enter into, that's a personal decision to have some resolve that says, regardless of what happens, I'm coming in. Now, sermon number 4 is going to deal with coming to church and worshiping after something tragic has happened in your life. But sometimes the devil doesn't use just tragedy. Sometimes he uses folk that you live with. Keep you at home, because they ain't going. Yeah, somebody left somebody at home today. Let me tell you something. Let me just give you a little word of encouragement. If that's your relationship, there's nobody that deserves to be in your life when you are doing something that's positive and that's good that will, number one, discourage you from doing it, and then, number two, won't care enough to participate to find out why it's working in your life. Listen, what I'm trying to tell you, don't let that no good nappy-headed Negro lay at home in the bed and try to pull you in there and keep you away from your blessing in the house of God. You ought to tell them, anybody that lives under this roof is going to the same place I'm going. And if you don't like the rules, you can find your own place to live. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord and we will present ourselves in his house. But see, what you got to understand is, sometimes when you say, I'm going to church Sunday, sometimes you say that on this Sunday, you're saying already next Sunday, I'm going to church. Everything in the atmosphere hears that. The angels that have sent, that God has sent to guard you and protect you, they're working to make sure that that promise, that intention is carried out. But there's also some other demonic forces that say, oh, you think you're going to go to church next Sunday? Okay, you don't know what Monday's going to be like. And so what I'm trying to tell you, that you should never just take it lightly that you're here, because sometime to declare I'm going to be here and to show up will require more strength than what you realize you're going to need. Sometimes for some of us, as soon as we say amen after holy, 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 the devil is going to start working on your next week's attendance, because he knows that if he can mess it up, your whole week is thrown off course. So you got to have some personal resolve. But I also saw something else about this when David says, enter in too. Not only do you got to worry about what the stuff you got to deal with that's going to cause you or keep you from being present, but then when you get here, some folk don't come because they get a little intimidated by the other folk who are here as well. Here's the part we don't like to talk about, because your pew might be emptied today because somebody knew that you would be sitting there. And the last time they sat there with you, it was such an unpleasant experience, and the eyes kept turning in their direction, that they said, I really don't feel like putting up with that today. But can I help you if you came anyway in spite of that? Now don't look left or right. Just keep your eyes up here. I don't want you to embarrass anybody. But let me just tell you this. If you are intimidated by anybody else who's here that wants you to think that they're better than you, they're more holy than you, I want you to go ahead and remove that from your agenda right now. Go ahead and take that away from you right now. Clear that away from you right now. Because here it is. All of us in here are just as hurt as you are. All of us in here are just as needy as you are. Y'all ain't gonna say that. All of us in here get just as depressed, distressed, and in places of despair as you are right now. All of us in here have wrestled with our faith. All of us in here have been wounded and broken and sick and sad and sorrowful. So baby, you got to understand what really makes it a fellowship is because all of the fellows are in the same ship. Ain't nobody in here got it together. I'm talking about from the pulpit, well, from the choir to the pulpit to the back door. All of us are works in progress. So let me just help you to tell you when he says enter into, the only qualification is that you have a heart that says, I want to be there. Oh, there's a lot of folk in Newmarket right now that's sitting at home because they don't know that this place should welcome them who have their issues. You ever met anybody who said, I would go to church, but you know, I'm going to stop drinking and I ain't got nothing to wear and all this stuff. That reveals that they're intimidated by what they perceive as another level of holiness. And let me tell you, we don't do anything to help that when they show up because we remind them, you are not where we are. Well, where are we really? If we'd have forgotten mercy and we have forgotten grace, how can you help those who are hurt when you have forgotten that you were found in a place of hurt yourself? How can you get anybody else out of their sin when you forget that you were once in the same place and still struggle with the same thing? No, David said, enter into. Watch this. Here's why you don't have to be afraid. Enter into his gates and his courts. In other words, baby, it don't belong to nobody but him. In other words, here it is. Here is an invitation to enter the space where God is. Does that sound like a good deal for anybody? To be in the same place where God is. Now watch this. What he says is he has entered into his gates. That translates to a door or an opening, an entrance. Is there anybody just glad that a door has been opened to be in God's space? Woo! Can you imagine if we had to stay on the other side of the veil and stay on the outside of the place of work? Can you imagine what life would be like? But here David tells us that God has placed a door that if you're willing to open it on your side, it'll open and you're able to come to where God promised that he is. He says the gates and then his courts. Courts are enclosure like a fence backyard. Now the reason why I thought about this was when you think about a court, like a courtyard, that space to move and to maneuver. In other words, when God allows us to come beyond the veil and to come into his presence, he doesn't require us to stay seated and to be still and to be quiet. He says, you're free to move about. So here it is. If God's courts and God's gates are open and expanded for you to move about, don't let anybody in here restrict your mobility when you come in. I thank God that he has a gate with a door that opens to me and I can turn the knob and I can enter into. I thank God that when I get on the other side, I'm not restricted by what others' opinions of my worship is, but I can come into his courts and I can move freely as the Spirit of God leads me, because it's not your court, it's not a Hopewell court, it's his court and his gates. And here's why I really celebrate. President is president, because here is the place. The place where we share space with the one who created the whole world. Is there anybody just glad to be in this space right now?
If you're just thankful. See, sometimes we say, I ain't going back out there. But when you understand, if you're entering into his gates, into his courts, that it's a special privilege every time the door opens that I'm one of the ones that's walking through there, coming on in here with all that stuff on my shoulder and all that baggage behind me. I'm the one that made a choice because I choose to be in the presence of God. Baby, I don't let other folk confuse me and intimidate me because I didn't come for you. I came to get in his presence.
Say that.
Church would be a lot better. You wouldn't have to sit around complaining over at Poses and O'Brien's after church if you would understand you didn't come for them Negroes and those jokers that messed up your day at church. You came for worship, and when you entered into, you came to see him. And you have to help folk understand that if you want to watch me while I interact with him, that's on you. But you're not going to get in the way of what I came to bring him, because I came for something. Slap your neighbor, high five, and say, I came for something. But only you come and present yourself in his presence. Number two, here's what we got to learn, the attitude we got to have. You got to come to be a blessing to the blessor. Notice the text informs us that we are not just to come in. He does not just stop by saying, come into his gates and enter into his courts. He does not just leave it there. Come in and do what? Sit on your hands and knees. He does not tell us to just come in, sit here, and just wait on something to happen. But we come for something. And let me tell you this, your attitude will not only affect the atmosphere, but your attitude ultimately determines your agenda. See, some folk come for the wrong agenda. You came and you present yourself in his presence, but let me just tell you, more devilment happens at church on Sunday than at any other time of the week. If you want to wonder where the devil is on Sunday, he's right in church with you. And if you mess around and catch him out there in the foyer, it'll mess up your whole world and your whole day. But when you have the attitude that sets an atmosphere for worship, then it will also determine what your agenda is. Now, David helps us to determine what our agenda should be. Sometimes people come to church and they want to complain. Things are not going well in their life. They come to church and they want to complain. They're mad. They got to say it. They got to vent to somebody. Other folk come looking for pity. I need somebody to understand what I'm going through. Poor me. All my issues. I got these things going on. Some folk come to talk about what other folk got going on. Gossip. Tell that what we don't know, but trying to know, but really don't need to know. Some folk come for that stuff. But watch this. According to the text, even from the personal level, it does not even ask us to identify or even investigate our issues. It says nothing about coming with your issues. See, here's where we get off track. We come with our stuff, bringing our issues, and that impacts our agenda while we're here, because if we're not fed and if we're not feel the way we'd like to be, then we say, I ain't had church today. But here it is. Rather, he tells us in the text, rather than to come and investigate and identify our issues, he rather tells us that we should put our concentration upon the Creator. Concentrate and center on the Creator. Because we go back to verse 3. He tells us there very clearly, he says in verse number 3, he says that we are, know ye that the Lord, he is God, and it is he that has done what? Made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. In other words, whatever is going on in your life, your Creator, because he cares, he's able to handle it. So when you come to worship, your focus should never be consumed by what he's already able to handle as your Creator. Your focus has to be on, well, since you're able to handle it, I'll just just come and praise you. Y'all still missing it. What I'm saying to you is, rather than come in and say, I need somebody to understand what I'm going through and all of my issues, you come to a place where God is able to handle everything because he made you. He knows all the intricacies about you. He can handle everything that's happening in your life. So rather than focus on what he's already handling and moving in, come focus on him.
Let me just say it this way. Quit coming with your problems as your agenda in worship. And come with an agenda of praise. Here it is. He says this. He says, concentrate on the Creator. Here it is. He says, with thanksgiving. I didn't catch this until I looked at it again. He says, with thanksgiving. In other words, when I park my car and I open the door and get out and come in this door, that means I bring thanksgiving with me. Some of us may have to drag it, but whatever it takes, you bring it in with you. You know how it is when you've heard folk brag about that sweet potato casserole and they get time for the family reunion and they say, well, this is so good, bring some of it. You make two pans and you can't wait to run down there and give it to them because you're coming with something that you believe everybody's going to enjoy because it's just good. And when you come to the house of God, we come with some of the most sour, some of the most stale attitudes. But when you come bringing what you want to be experienced with you, then nobody can disrupt what happens while you're here because you brought something in. And he says that you bring it in with you. That means that you didn't ask your neighbor to give it to you. You didn't try to steal none of theirs because you brought it in with you. Here it is. And you are actively, he gives us the action. He says, as you come in with thanksgiving, to express it means that you are thankful again unto him. Here it is, where it gets personal and it becomes powerful in your life. See, nobody else has the privilege of thanking God for you because they don't know all the stuff he stuffed in your cart. Oh, y'all quiet in here. Maybe this is just for me. But when I look at my life and I think about the stuff he put in my cart that I couldn't pay. God, what are you doing putting that in my cart? I don't have the money to pay for that. He said, it's grace, baby. It's already been paid for. I've already met the bill. And all you got to do is enjoy it. And you walk up out of the store of life with some stuff that you never thought you'd have. And you come in thinking about all of that stuff. Nobody can stop you from telling God thank you because they don't know what he put in your life. When other folks wrote you off and tried to slide you to the left, God put you right back where you needed to be. You ought to bless the name of the Lord for all of the stuff in your cart. Reason why you can't enjoy church right now. Some of you sitting there saying, I wish he'd hurry up and sit down. I'm tired of looking at him and listening to him. Baby, this moment really ain't about you. It's all about him. And I'm just remembering some stuff he put in my life that I could not have got myself. And I just proudly pushed the card and to thank him for everything that's in there. You had enemies trying to pluck stuff out of your life and pluck stuff out of your cart. But every time they tried to pluck it out, he did like he did with Job. He said, okay, devil, you're going to take one out. I'm going to put two in. Every time you take this, I'm going to give them some of that. And you just kept on going and kept on making it. It was nobody but God's. So that's why you come in with thanksgiving. You don't wait for the praise team to get up. Okay, now it's time to pray. No, you came in with thanksgiving. That'll cut out a whole lot of gossip in the foyer, a lot of arguments and fights in the parking lot, a lot of mess and junk in the classroom. It'll cut it all out because when you come in and think about him. Yeah. 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 Thank you. And let me just tell you this.
when you come with this stuff, anytime anybody meets you with some other stuff, you say, "No, baby, I didn't come for all that." So we got to know how to, we got to go back to what they had in the 90s. You got to let folks talk to the hand. "No, I don't want to hear no mess today. I don't have time for no junk. Don't come to me with that mess. I'm the wrong one. I'm not your trash can. I came with thanksgiving in my heart and praise on my lips. And anything that's not on that agenda, mold me and miss me with that." You got to have some guts. You got to have some confidence. You got to know why you come. You got to know you come for something. And he says, "Enter into his courts and into his gates with thanksgiving. I bring some with me." Well, I mentioned the family reunion, because you got some folk that like to come and they don't bring no food. "Can I get some ice? I'll pick up the forks and eat up all the food." They don't bring no supply. And folks handle church the same way. You sit back with your arm folded. "They just ain't moving me today. This message is just not reaching me today." And they don't understand, you get out of the worship what you're willing to bring into it. If you don't bring any thanksgiving in, you're not going to take any gratitude out of it. It's not the preacher's fault that you didn't get happy at church. It's not the choir's fault or the usher's fault. It's your fault, because you didn't come bringing anything with you. You're a taker. You're a habitual taker. Taking it and enjoying it, but never bringing anything that contributes to the overall experience. And we're not going to be moved by you and your taking. I'm not going to be frustrated and disappointed because you say, "Pastor, I just didn't really have anything that you did. Nothing moved me today." I really don't care. I don't say that to be mean. I really don't care, because I don't have time to be worried about what pleases you, because I did not come for you. Let me tell you this. And when he says bring it with you, it doesn't matter whether you left home lit and crump, ready to get in worship and get your praise on. It doesn't matter whether it hits you on your way down the highway, down Winchester Road. It doesn't matter if it hits you in the parking lot. Whatever it hits you and however it hits you, by the time you get inside of here with all of us in here, something ought to be lit in your spirit that you're ready to come in and say, "God, I thank you." Church folk, how you cussing them out before you get out of church? If you don't come to bless the blesser, here it is. By the time you hit that door, that entrance, you are in the place of, "Yes, Lord." He says, not only with thanksgiving, but he says with course, with praise, meaning that you take advantage of the space where God is present with us to submit, as Hebrews tells us, a sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of your lips giving thanks unto him. So really, they're tied together. One means that it's in your heart. It can be there without expression. But when it comes to praise, it is the expression. It is demonstrated by blessing his name. I wish I had time to unpack all that means when you talk about blessing his name, as the text tells me. But I simply say this. It includes action. Here it is. Here's the reason why we got to bless his name. The reason why it's personal here is because everything that I am, he made me. Everything that I have, he gave me. Every place where I am, he raised me. So here it is. I've got to bless his name. I can't be silent in praise. Whether it's the movement of your hands or the movement of your feet or the movement of your tongue in between that den of teeth. Whether it's the movement of your heart or the tears that begin to start. Whatever it is that moves you, let it move you for the praising and the glory of God. Nobody else gets the glory from our bodies in worship and our tongues and our mouths in worship other than the one whom all glory belongs. You got to begin to pronounce honor and reverence, glory and honor, majesty and power be unto him. You got to begin to let that to worship. Quit allowing the devil's language to come through your tongue. And when you get to that place, you can tune out the bass guitar. You don't need a drummer anymore. You don't need a pianist. You don't need an organist. You don't need a praise team to pump, prime, and pull you. You don't need any of that stuff. You can be by yourself in this place and go into praise and worship mode. You can begin to shabbat God and begin to honor him with your lips, talking about what he has done in your life. You don't need a whole lot of company. You can get in the presence of God all by yourself, and God will meet you in that place. Here it is. It just merely must come from the heart of a pure worshiper. You're willing to gift the giver. The great giver is worthy of your praise. But lastly, as I'm out of here today, not only you got to have the right attitude when it comes to worship, in that you understand that you ought to want to be present in his presence. Number two, you ought to want to be a blessing to the one who has blessed you. But then thirdly, and I'm out of here, you got to learn how to memorize what matters. At the end of the day, all the psalms are songs. And when you look at Psalm 100, it's been quoted as the verse says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. The song closes with the sweetest of lyrics that all of Scripture could record. He says this, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. And his truth endures to all generations. Can I just trouble you one more time and just tell you to be an encouragement to the neighbor? Neighbor. These are things you need to remember this week, because you're going to be challenged with some other stuff that wants to come into your mind and erect rule in your space. But you need to remember that throughout of all the bad that you will go through, that the Lord is still good. I'm trying to tell you, I feel this thing right now. The Lord is still good. And what that means for us is that wherever the Lord is present and whatever he's doing where he is, that it will work out for your good. That's why Paul said to us, and we know that all things are working together for the good of them that love God and are called according to his purpose. Because he understood that the Lord is still good, yes. And not only does he tell us that the Lord is good, but he says mercy is everlasting. And what that means is it keeps the favorable face of God turned in your direction. And it keeps it where there is no expiration date or a vanishing point. In other words, it does not get to the place where we can be so bad that God will turn his face from us. But what he says is he is a continually merciful God. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that God is good. And not only that, I'm glad that God is merciful. But what I love is his truth endures to all generations. In other words, his firmness in what God has established in his word is sure, just as it's ever been. And sure right now and forever will be. In other words, he promised that he would never leave you nor forsake you. And so you got to understand that God will keep his word. Is there anybody here that's glad that God keeps his word? But what I love about it is that his truth endures to all generations. In other words, your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren, they can know that God's truth will endure unto them. Well, tell your neighbor, I got a good memory right now. Yeah, Lord. And so when you have a good memory that God is good and his mercy endures forever, you can rather than focus on you. You can focus and remember that I have a God that's able to heal me. Rather than get down because of the people that left me, I remember that I got a God who walks beside me and carries me. Have I got a witness here? Rather than be filled with guilt about the sin that I was tempted by and caused me to fall, I remember that God who still loves me and gave his Christ to save me. Can I ask you one more time, Hopewell, how good is your memory? All you gotta do is think about how good he is. He's good in the morning, good in the noonday, good late in the midnight hour. Anybody in here ever tried, my God? Can you wave a hand and say he's good? Yeah, I thank God his mercy, it remains in my life. I've done some stuff in my life. I wish I had an eraser and mark it off the record, but I thank God his blood on Calvary wiped my slate clean. I'm free. I heard the young preacher the other night say, I got off. Is there anybody glad you got off of the hook? He paid it all on your behalf. That's why I come to worship him. He's done a work in my life nobody could do, nobody could pay for. He let them stretch him right on Calvary, put nails in his hands, drove a spike through his feet, a crown of thorns on his head. He died on that cross. They buried him in a borrowed tomb. But is the church alive? I said, is the church alive? Because early Sunday morning, he got up, all power in his hands. I didn't say some power. I didn't even say most power. I said all power in his hands. He rose to raise you from your pain and from your sin. They can't hurt you no more. Jesus got it all under control. Can the church just say amen? Can the church say amen for the things the Lord has done in your life? Can anybody say, I love the Lord? He heard my cry and pitied every groan I had. Other folk walked away and turned their back on you. But oh, it was Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, he looked in my direction. He saved me and he raised me. Is there anybody glad you've been raised? Say yes, yes, yes.
What you came to do, but I came to praise the Lord. God has been good to me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. We gotta have an attitude. we offer him to you. He's here. His spirit is here. So come. If you're here and you want to rededicate your life, come. The spirit of the Lord is in this place. Come. If you're here and you need prayer, come. Jesus is waiting to answer your prayer. Come. Come this morning. You want to be baptized and claim him as your Savior. Come. He's waiting. He's ready to save you. Though your sins be as crimson, he'll make them whiter than snow. Do we have one? Do we have one? Come. Do we have one? Do we have one more to come? God is waiting. What a word. What a word this morning. What a word. You can enter in. You don't have to worry anymore after you give your life to Jesus. Oh, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for that word this morning. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that's within me. Bless this holy name. Oh God, come. Oh Lord. Testimonies. Because if it's good for you, it'll be good for somebody else. So we thank you, God, this morning. Thank you, Jesus.